Earlier in the year, that was one of our summer successes, as voted for and successfully winning all sorts of marvellous things, the amazingly talented Rai Vita with Silent Nights. Well, there's another Rai Vita tune coming to the world, which we'll be hearing after the news. But even more great news is that we can go live to Bombay now and say good morning, Rai Vita. How are you?
Good. I'm not actually in Bombay, though.
Ooh.
I'm in Delhi.
Oh, Lord above. You see, I just sort that whole thing through there. Okay, so what time of the day is it in Delhi?
It's 1:30 in the afternoon.
1:13 in... Oh, yeah, we're 1:58. Coming up to 2 o'clock in the afternoon, effectively, very shortly.
Yeah.
Astounding stuff. Well, as we said, we'll be unveiling the next wonderful Rai Vita tune, which is a completely different style to Silent Nights. I mean, that was wonderful from its own point of view, but I think you worked through that. We'll be listening to that, no pun intended, but we'll be finding out after the news. And, of course, what sort of things you've been up to in Delhi and a variety of other factors as well from that perspective. So, great news there. If you'd be kind enough, Rai Vita, to actually stay with us whilst we actually head up to the news, have the 2 minutes from the Sky News Centre, do the weather, and then we'll be back with your good self in full force.
Yeah, sure.
Excellent. This is great stuff, etc. And actually, we'll do this just before the news. What is the weather like in Delhi at present?
It is really hot.
Yeah, we thought it would be. It was earlier in the programme we were actually with Tessa Snart, who was in the Costa Brava. It's 30 degrees centigrade in Costa Brava. Here in Lincoln, it's 21 degrees centigrade. We'll give you the official sort of forecast and so on after the news as we head into there. But I think actually you've summed it up perfectly there, Rai Vita, by saying, Delhi, it's rather hot at present. Well, you know, September, I suppose technically, are we almost in monsoon season? Are we heading towards that sort of time?
Yes, it has been raining quite a lot.
Yeah. Well, you see, that's the message. It's not just Lincoln that gets the rain. It happens in Delhi as well. And on that little bombshell, we'll say stay with us, Rai Vita. We'll be back for more chitter-chatter and other exciting things, plus, of course, the unveiling of your latest single after the news.
News and sport on Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station.
And the weather in Lincoln, highs of 21 degrees centigrade, lows of 15 degrees centigrade, and the morning brightness will evolve into some patchy rain, but the sunny spells will be back by the afternoon.
Prime ministers and presidents may come and go, but the certainty of exemplary entertainment on the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive morning editions remains.
A pop rock sound with a golden hint of the East. It's one of the lines to actually describe the amazingly talented Rai Vita. Again, graduated from the BIMM in London, of course. Impeccable tuition, headed towards composing and getting a master's degree in composing for film and television at Kingston University, as we said. Rai Vita, how has the year been for your good self since, of course, you had that fantastic result of being voted the number one song, Rai Vita, Silent Nights, which again got the winning role in the last Midweek Drive a few months ago now?
It has been quite busy because I have been working on quite a lot of new music.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's okay.
As you know, my new single is going to be out soon. Mm.
Well, I don't think we can actually wait any longer to unveil this, because it's a completely very different style. I mean, we played Silent Nights, and on the one hand you say, yes, that sort of takes you into a more of a transcendental phase, you might well say. Would you like to do a quick introduction to Listen, which we're about to quite literally listen to?
Listen is quite a series.
Oh. We just momentarily lost you there, Ivita. Are you still with us?
To initiate peace. Yes, can't you hear me?
Yes, hello? We're fine now. We got. It's all right. We got initiate peace. Carry on.
Yes, so Listen is more about initiating peace, and I think that's why it has a darker sound as compared to Silent Nights, but it does have my signature Eastern style in it.
Okay, well, listen, stay with us. We'll be back with you in about 3 minutes from now. 3 minutes of absolute magic as we listen to Ivita. And listen.
If you ever tell a lie to a woman, she might magnify it in her mind. Then you justify yourself in this moment.
Second single taken from the mini album, debut album from that perspective, and of course following on from the spectacular summer single debut Silent Nights, Ivita, and listen there, yay! Thumbs up, I think, across the base there, Ivita.
Yay.
But different style, and that's, you know, amazing, quite a debut from a young lady who hails from the colourful city of New Delhi, India, who's also a regular on the London music scene. Have you been over in Britain since we last spoke, by the way?
No, actually, I'm visiting on the 22nd.
Of September.
Of this month.
There we are. Well,
we
should look. I mean, you must make a trip to Lincoln. We should be doing something on that sort of basis. It's, although you might well say.
Oh, yeah, that would be amazing.
Yeah, work through that. Again, a totally different sound and well worth developed from that sort of point of view. we must be looking to, I mean, obviously you can download it from the usual sources, the usual areas, and so on from that perspective. How can people stay in touch with your good self, Rivita, in terms of websites, Facebook, and so on?
You can find me on my website, www.rivitamusic.com, or find me on Facebook, facebook.com/rivitamusic. That is R-I-V-I-T-A music.
And I think it's so important that you've actually said that, because I've been mispronouncing. It's Rivita as opposed to Rivita. It's very important. It's cutting edge in terms of that whole side of things there. So Rivita, not as in welding rivets, which would be another line entirely. It's Rivita as in R-I-V-I-T-A. Oh, it's a very strange sort of point of view. Which one do you prefer? I realise this might be asking you a little bit to choose between favourite children, but if we were to actually say Silent Nights or Listen, which one would you go for? If somebody said, yeah, this would be the ultimate one. Obviously, we've played them both today, but which one would you go for?
I think I will go with Listen for now, because it's newer and I have grown more as a producer on this one.
That makes sense. And I'm also sensing, obviously, there's a whole range of things there in terms of movie soundtracks and videos and various other factors. Is that something else you're looking to explore and develop?
I do compose music for films. Currently, I am doing more production work. I'm producing myself, and I'm also producing another artist.
And so it goes. So we can look forward to Rivita global domination before too long. It will happen, you know, inevitably, from that sort of point of view. And as we said, you are our official New Delhi correspondent. You know, it's very important. Plug once again, rivitamusic.com, facebook.com/ Rivita Music, or indeed twitter.com, Rivita Music as well. Rivita, have you had a reasonably interesting return to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition? Has it been okay for your good self? Good.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's okay. I mean, normally we sort of say thank you as well after the whole sort of production, various other bits and pieces. So will you return?
Yes, of course.
Yay! Another New Delhi correspondent is sorted through. I'm sure at a pinch you could probably talk about Bombay, but let's just keep it on New Delhi at this particular area. It's very important. Rivita, take care of yourself. Oh, by the way, when you're back over in Britain, will you be performing at all? Will there be any sort of areas that you'll be performing, or will it be just a case of a sort of fact-finding tour?
Yes, I think I will be performing, and I will send you the details soon.
Yay, that's what we like to hear. Splendid stuff. Rivita is coming to England. Why would you want to steal anybody's sunshine? Well, maybe it's all down to cheating, hustling, and so on and so forth. This integrity question, as we said, it's been vexing us as the programme's been proceeding this morning. And so to address this, we're delighted to welcome to the programme world-renowned expert on cheating and television presenter for the amazing The Real Hustle. It's R. Paul Wilson. How are you, sir?
I'm very well. Good morning.
Excellent. Good to touch base with your good self. And, of course, spokesperson from Quidco, the equally legendary Victoria Layton. How are you, Victoria?
I'm a legend in my own field. It's just a very small one.
Well, that's always important, always critical from that point of view. If we can come to you, Paul, R. Paul, would you like R. Paul or Paul or Mr. Wilson? How would you like us to refer to you?
Well, it really depends who you are, but you can call me Paul.
Oh, nice. Very good. I like that. This question about integrity, I mean, we often used to pride ourselves in Britain as being, you know, a really honest scenario, but not paying for carrier bags, returning worn clothes for a refund. Is this just a case of, well, humanity living down to its worst impulses in Britain?
I think a lot of people would want to say that. I think people are as honest today as they ever were, but what they are is they're a little bit more savvy, and that bleeds into people doing things that perhaps are a little bit questionable, but most people, I think, are just trying to game the system. They're trying to get an advantage. They're trying to save more money. And if they walk away and they've spent a little less, sometimes they interpret it as having a win rather than taking something that they shouldn't. And, you know, I think that the numbers are really intriguing, but I think it points more to the fact that people are now more interested in getting more from their business interactions, and especially when they're buying things from big corporations. I also think, you know, yes, if somebody gave me a little bit extra change as I was walking out of a big company, like a big superstore, I might not bother to go back and interrupt that person or try and find someone to explain it. I might take the money and walk away. But if it was a corner shop or if it was a family-run company, I'd probably feel obliged because I'm talking to a person rather than a big corporation. So that's the kind of thing that I think makes me look at the research as an indication of how savvy people are and how objective-driven they are and how they are really trying to get an advantage in many other fields. And grabbing a free bag or walking away with a little bit of change doesn't make us more dishonest as a country.
Victoria, I can almost sense the sort of tutting and disapproving glance that's coming across there from that perspective. But from Quidco's investigation, was this surprising to yourself? I mean, I was intrigued by the notion that the integrity study found that people aged 18 to 34 were the most untrustworthy, in contrast to those aged 65 or over who were the most honest.
Yeah, you need to keep an eye on those people if they come into your shop.
Wow.
But not really. I think particularly like millennials, they've grown up in an era where every penny has counted. And I think we have got into the psychology of, you know, trying to make your money last a little bit longer. And these little ways are just little things that you can do to just keep that budget where it needs to be. And I think the trouble is with like loyalty schemes are one way where people can really make some serious money. But things that are free almost feel too good to be true. Like when you take a bag that's worth 5p, you can think, oh, you know what, we didn't used to have to pay for these, and it's unbelievable now that we come and do our shopping here and they won't even give us the facility to take it home with us. But on the other side, if it's like a double points event, if it is a buy one get one free, we've kind of been taught to be suspicious of it as well. It's like the conventional ways of saving money, your buy one get one free offers, your 10% extras. People are very cynical now, I think. Big businesses, unfortunately, have not been, certainly in the press, doing things for the right reasons for the customers. And so they are wanting to, you know, to get something back. Their customer's valuable. So you can see why they've fallen into these little traps of maybe tweaking things and, you know, calling it a bit of a life hack. And I think, as Paul said, if you scratch the surface and talk to people about this, and they realised that they were doing something that would be perceived as dishonest, I think they'd be very sad and they would feel guilty.
We spoke to Tessa Snott in Spain earlier this morning, and indeed Ian Lennox up in Newcastle. They both actually said, surely supermarkets now, in certain instances, they have, you know, 5p carrier chargebacks. How can people actually not pay for their 5p carrier bag? We couldn't work out how it could actually happen. Is it just a case of theft, Paul?
It can be a case of theft. I think most people who get away with an extra carrier bag have simply forgotten that they, you know, they took four instead of three. But I'm absolutely certain some people say zero carrier bags when they're at that machine, you know, when you check everything in yourself.
But
that's another thing, you know, is that if you're up against the machine, it's easier to think, I'm just going to beat the machine rather than the person. So there is definitely an element of impersonality about those machines that that does encourage people to maybe take a little advantage of them.
And as far as the East Midlands are actually concerned, almost 2 in 5 of those surveyed would pocket extra change if the cashier made a mistake. So, Paul, is it ethical? Is it just a case of, well, it's human beings? As you said, it's what we expect. And does it make the art of the con just that little bit more challenging?
Is it ethical? Well, it's not ethical to keep something that you shouldn't. But I think it's a little bit of a bleed between trying to get everything that you can out of a situation and then doing maybe a little bit too much so that you've kind of done a little bit too... You've taken something that you shouldn't when, you know, maybe you've gone and picked up something and run it through as the wrong thing on the checkout. It could feel, however, like a win. And that's kind of the problem, is if you feel like I got one over on that big company, it stops you from thinking, wait a minute, I probably shouldn't have done that. I've taken something that I shouldn't. And it does relate a lot to some of the things that I've done in the past where, you know, I spent years working against casinos as an advantage player by looking at the rules and thinking, how can I do something within the rules that will make me more money, like card counting and things like that? But then there's a point where some people turn around and say, well, yeah, I can card count, but if I pay the dealer secretly, I bribe the dealer to shuffle the cards a different way, that's actually cheating. And essentially you're doing the same thing, but you're giving yourself another advantage. And I kind of see a relationship here with people trying very hard to get the most out of the system and then sometimes maybe doing a little bit too much and walking away with something that they shouldn't. But most people, I genuinely believe, are as honest as the day is long, and they're just a lot more savvy now than they used to be, and they're looking for services like Quidco because they want to get something back. But they're also looking at them thinking, well, is this real? Because there's so much out there that is too good to be true.
It's a fabrication. It's like James T. Kirk will say with respect to the Kobayashi Maru. He didn't cheat. He just changed the conditions of the test. Victoria, returning to your good self in terms of Quidco, what's the best place to actually go to find out some more possible tips, life hacks, if you like? Or indeed, maybe it's a case of Quidco and karma. You could actually sort of have a new whole sort of balance there. Where should we go?
I think Quidco is a good starting place. Obviously, I have to say that because I work there, but I genuinely believe that cashback is one of the brilliant, honest ways that you can get money back. I think it does sound too good to be true. So Google is your friend with this and with any other kind of deal that looks like it might not be legit, because there are forums out there. There are people that have tested every kind of voucher stacking, every kind of discount to make sure it's within the rules. So there's communities out there that kind of came together during the credit crunch that are there to help you kind of cut through the cynicism and just get the right things at the right price for you. So there's plenty you can do, and it doesn't take too long.
I feel as though we've connected. It's almost like seeing the British equivalent to Paul Newman and Tom Cruise in The Hustle, except I presume you don't actually have a pool table in the studio at present, when you've got Paul Wilson and Victoria Layton in the whole sort of fantastic stuff. Folks, it's been gradually fantastic. It's been wonderful touching base with your good self. Have you had a reasonably interesting and friendly conversation today? Has it been okay for you guys?
Oh, it's been great for me. I don't know about you, Paul.
Paul?
Yeah, so far everything's gone very well, but the day is young.
Well, this is true. No, Rachel will look after you, we know, because she's that kind of ace producer. We take it then you might both return in the not-too-distant future to keep us appraised of how integrity can sort of evolve and indeed people's money-saving habits. Will you return?
We will. It's going to be an annual report because we want to index it, so we want to see if people's morals are really slipping. So we'll talk again next year.
2017 could be just around the corner.
It's the date.
You're listening to Siren 107.3. Good morning. Time now on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition for culinary class and gastronomic gorgeousness with the broadcasting legend, who is William Sitwell.
And he's back from Zimbabwe, and he's sorted through, and what better person to actually follow through, world-renowned expert on cheating and TV presenter from The Real Hustle, Paul Wilson, our Paul Wilson. It's a very, very strange show, as you may have gathered, William, but all the better for you having joined us now. I will put this little question to you, though. Would you ever have walked away from pocketing extra pennies if somebody actually gave you change at a cashier and they made a mistake? Would you pocket that extra change?
Depends how much.
Oh, this is very true.
No, I think I'm fundamentally honest, actually. So I think I'd probably, for the sake of a few pennies.
Yeah.
I mean, if someone by mistake submitted sort of £3.5 million quid into my bank account, I might keep that quiet.
Oh, exactly. Moving on from that point of view, not that we'd advocate it, of course, I'm just fascinated to find that in terms of the United Kingdom versus Europe, well, we are part of Europe, of course, but in terms of this survey, the French believe that they've got the most integrity, with 92% of those considering themselves squeaky clean. 86% of Germans believe that they're honest, whereas Britain, more than half, 52% actually sort of maintain they're only sort of honest. Interesting. Cultural surveys, but the key question that I know not only John Wenham, but a whole heap of folk are keen to find out is, how was the cricketing experience in Zimbabwe?
Well, Zimbabwe is an incredibly beautiful country. It seemed to me to be a relatively peaceful place against one's sort of expectations. I mean, I arrived into Harare and the newspaper hoardings by the side of the road declared Harare turns into a war zone, Zim riots, etc., etc. I could only see a couple of cardboard boxes on fire in the main street. We played cricket in the suburbs. I played on some of the most beautiful grounds in the world, as good as, if not better than, some test wickets across this country. We ate well. We were beautifully looked after. We travelled. It's a phenomenally beautiful country, and it just needs a bit of tinkering at the top and at the bottom. And then who knows? But it's a beautiful place. And I would recommend it to anybody who wants to see wonderful wildlife, beautiful scenery, lovely people, great countryside, and eat good food. So, thumbs up for Zim.
Well, it's good to hear that it's obviously after, as you rightly said, because I think the impression that most folk actually get of Zimbabwe, post-Rhodesia and all the other challenges and the long history of colonisation and activities there, is that, yeah, it's not necessarily going to be number one of their tourist destinations, but maybe if you're just giving people pause for thought. Why cricket? Was it a charity gig that you were doing? What was the intention of going over there and playing cricket?
Well, I played for a team called the City All-Stars, which is run by an amazing journalist called Peter Robon. He's a political writer.
I know Peter Robon. He used to be a co-presenter on the midweek. Wait, he'll have forgotten all about us. But mention Express FM to Peter Robon and see if he lights up at all, really.
Okay, all right. So he's been a political editor for The Spectator, columnist for The Mail, columnist for The Telegraph, and he's a great lover of cricket. And for many years, he's been taking his team on tours of Ireland, and I've played for about 20 years on that. And then occasionally he does forays into further afield. So he's done the western east coast of America, we've toured India, he's done northern Pakistan, and so because of his journalism work in Zimbabwe, he decided to take the team out there. And so he spent a lot of time fixing lots of matches. I left a bit early, I played 6 matches in 7 days.
Just holding momentarily, will you, when you said fixing matches, we're not talking about that kind of fixing. It's always critical.
Well, if we were fixing matches, we did it very badly because we lost every single match. We were playing amazing teams. But in terms of Zimbabwe, I mean, obviously, I don't think it's outrageous to say that the regime is pretty corrupt from top to bottom. The government is very heavily in debt. They're struggling to pay public sector workers, so you get police roadblocks about every 20 minutes on the major highways so that the police can stop you and basically charge you dubious fines for dubious alleged parking offences, which is the way they kind of fund their salaries. So there is huge debt there, and there's huge amounts of uncertainty. But Zimbabwe's always been a pretty, fertile country. It has gone from breadbasket to basket case over the last 20 years, and there are, terrible stories. And I mean, the extraordinary thing is when you come face to face with the results of their hideous hyperinflation. I mean, I met people who've paid into pension schemes generously for 20, 25 years, only to realize that after hyperinflation, with the Zimbabwean dollar at extraordinary heights, their pensions wouldn't even buy them a loaf of bread. And I brought back a 50 billion Zimbabwe dollar note, 50 billion, and that's not an unusual thing to see. Someone found a 100 billion one. So they now obviously just trade in US dollars. A lot of the single dollars are getting a bit frayed. No one really wants to put them into the banks. They don't trust them. So the banks can't send them back to the States to have them incinerated and send new ones. So the actual currency itself is deteriorating. But I think, it looks like change might be on the horizon. The old man, Mugabe, is on his last legs. And I think foreign investors will be keen to get in there if they can they and the IMF can get some, you know, radical change. But who knows? All I can tell you is that it's safe, beautiful, touch wood, safe, and you eat well, you drink well, and if you stretch, you can play cricket and you can walk the next morning.
Well, that's the important thing. I mean, so far we've launched the show from the Costa Brava in Spain with Tessa Snart, went up to Newcastle with Ian Lennox, over to New Delhi with Rivita and her latest single, and now, of course, your views on Zimbabwe. Where do we find you now? Are you back in London or are you Northampton-based?
I'm now in Old Street as we speak.
Oh, excellent stuff. And, again, obviously the guilt factor is coming through because I think, once again, we've missed the Northampton Country Show, have we not?
Ah! The Lois Whedon and Weston
Thank you.
Horticultural Society flower and food show was last Saturday.
Exactly. When, of course,
and it was a washout.
Oh dear, we were at the Burley Horse International Horse Trials. If it helps from that point of view, so we'll coordinate it. And then we actually had an Australian who actually won Burley. It was very friendly. We don't have time to talk about the Queen's 90th birthday cake, as cooked by Nadia Hussain, which is an interesting line from that. Apparently, it's all down to fondant drizzle from Nadia's line on terms of that. It's Great British Bake Off. But hopefully, William, this is going to be the term where we will be having another bake-off challenge. We actually just uploaded onto our Facebook page three of our Medric Drivettes who graduated yesterday, of course, with the full ceremony up at the cathedral in the village of Lincoln. That's Emma Tinson and Claire Margerison, who's going to see the august establishment that once hosted your good self, the University of Kent at Canterbury, where she becomes a postgraduate student. And, of course, Mary Dancy, who you spoke to as well. But for now, William, have you had a reasonably interesting return to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition?
Very good. Nice to chat about Zim with you and the people of the village.
Yeah, well, very critical from that point. So can we look forward to welcoming you back again, what, in a week's time? Will you be back? Will you be around then?
I'm not going anywhere.
Oh, well, theoretically, if we talk cosmologically, we are continuing to spin round at a phenomenal rate. So, you know, we're always moving, as we found, and moving is good for back pain. But the bottom line is, William Sirtwell, you will return. Yay! Triumphant sounds, all wonderful stuff, as we actually welcome to the studio Virus Mobile, because for some reason we have one or two challenges on the landline. In fact, we also thank Ian Lennox, who we phoned up to say, Ian, we can't reach Arthur. The line seems to be just getting beep. He very carefully provided us with the mobile number, which means we can say, Arthur McKenzie, welcome to the production. How are you, sir?
Not too bad this morning, not too bad at all.
Very good. Now, Arthur, in the studio, just joining us for the last sort of segment of Midweek Drive Morning Edition, a gentleman who's our harshest critic, primarily because he used to be a military policeman, MP. In which part, which part of the world, John Wenham?
Well, it wasn't, no, I was in the, what was then the Northern Rhodesia Police.
Northern Rhodesia Police.
That was in 1960 to 62.
All right. So, needless to say, Arthur, with your experience in the Hong Kong investigations and former chief inspector, I thought, let's just wrap up the show with a couple of police officers sharing tales across the globe. Anyway, which is probably not what you were expecting as we were coming to various other thoughts, etc. But, I mean, I'll put the question to you, John. John, why did you head over? Because actually now he's also had a career change not too dissimilar to yourself, Arthur, because whereas your pathway took you from UK discus champion to detective chief inspector to now ace television writer and wonderful writer and raconteur extraordinaire, John, as well as compiling the events guide for Siren FM, also is an ace cricketing umpire.
Well, I wouldn't say I was ace.
Well, but you're not corrupt anyway. That's the important thing. So the sporting connection works on that basis. But, John, why did you go into the police or the military police? Because really that's a different form, obviously.
Well, I went into the police. I was called up into the army in 1958. And when I was demobbed in 1960, I was put on the reserve list, which is the Territorial Army list, to serve a further period. I think it was 5 years, if I can remember correctly. But I wanted to take a career in the colonial police, as it was called in those days. And I applied for Hong Kong police, funny enough, and I applied for the Northern Rhodesia police.
So, strangely enough, you could have actually been investigating John Arthur. Just a thought there.
I think I probably would have been.
It's a strange and wondrous world, and that's how we actually get scripturing put together. Arthur, final sort of thoughts on the Olympics and, of course, the Paralympics. Are you focusing on the Paralympic Games, which opened yesterday, of course?
I think they're fantastic. I think they're absolutely inspirational. Every one of them is inspirational. It's just incredible. It makes you feel a little bit humble, actually, when you see the pain that these people must have gone through and the mental trauma and whatnot, and there they are, giving it all. It's fantastic. It really is.
And your thoughts, John, on the Paralympics or the Olympics, or are you mostly nervous?
Well, I was very impressed. I did watch part. I didn't watch all the opening ceremony last night, but I watched most of the parade. And to see some of those athletes struggling to keep moving, but looking so happy and waving at the crowds and things, it brings a sort of a lump to the throat, doesn't it?
It does. It makes you feel ashamed, actually, because you get up in the morning moaning about aches and pains in your bad back and all the rest of it. You shouldn't even realize it.
In fact, we were talking exactly about the bad back with a former ex-commando called Uzo Ehiogu, who was saying some of the myths that need to be busted, that actually not moving is the worst thing you can actually do for your back. You need to move. You need to keep moving and flexing from that point of view. So it goes. Arthur, critical news now, because Ian Lennox is taking a mini vacation. And as you know, and John will attest to that, Ian's kind of line, gentlemen and players, was how they bonded, really. Obviously, gentlemen and players about the cricketing line, and John being an umpire, you can see the connection. It's a bit like being former members of the police force. But I mean, Arthur, did you ever consider the military police as opposed to the main police?
No, never.
Straight talking.
I missed the services. I was deferred because I was a police cadet, and then I did get my call-up papers, and then I was called into the office, and I was told, yeah, that during the police force, they go into the services. I thought, well, I might as well get straight into the police force and get moving with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, there we are. Just choose the life pattern that we sort of work through. However, the point is, as Ian's stepping aside, are you able to join us for the next couple of weeks and take over the Ian Lennox slot around about sort of 8:30, 8:45 on a morning? I mean, we're back.
Yeah,
to,
no problem.
That's as good. Yeah. I mean, it's not like bringing back a super sub, but it's just important to know. It kind of keeps the people who like to hear the Newcastle voice happy, you know. And there are one or two in Lincoln, I'm sure, who sort of think, yeah. I mean, Jeff Thompson, for instance. I mean, he's, you know, he's there. He's doing the breakfast show Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Friday, so it's important to work through that. Anyway, just clearing that up. And how is the writing going?
Right. The thing is about writing, you know, is that you've just got to keep at it. It's like everything else. It's like you were saying about the bad back. You've got to keep moving. I'm currently doing one or two projects at the moment. I don't want to share what they are at this particular time, but I will let you know when they happen. But both quite exciting and both very demanding.
And is there any chance of a sequel to Brannigan? No, not Brannigan. Harrigan, Hannigan, Lord above. You see,
I wouldn't have thought so. Yeah. I know that I've talked about it and talked about making a three-parter out of it and things like that, but it's all talk and everything else, isn't it? You know, I don't get myself too excited about this business, because there's a lot of rubbish, I'll call it, talked.
Nice you said rubbish, actually. There are other names you could actually provide.
The damn you feared for this, you know what I mean?
Indeed, exactly. It's when they start saying, oh, fantastic, mwah, that's great. John, any questions you want to put to Arthur McKenzie about life, the universe, writing for Wycliffe, the joys of the bill, or indeed his time as a person investigating the police in Hong Kong?
Well, no, I was just wondering, Have you ever had contact with the colonial police side, sort of, shall we say, like in Africa?
No, not at all.
You haven't?
No, I haven't.
I don't know whether it was the dubious honour of looking for Doug Hammarskjöld when he crashed his plane in September the 18th, 1961, and found his body sort of thing and did the necessary. But that was a sort of highlight of my police career, which only lasted 2 years out there, actually. So,
but historical fact. It's a historical moment in time, you know what I mean?
That's right.
It might be worthwhile just sort of giving you a little bit of a colour in terms of that little story, John, the plane, etc. People are thinking, what, 1961? Yuri Gagarin went around the world. What was the connection? Why was that such an important...
Well, he'd been up into the Belgian Congo to try and have words with Moise Tshombe about the peace talks, because there was a bit of a civil war going around in the Congo at the time, and he was on his way to Ndola in northern Rhodesia, as he was, and his plane came down near a place called Mindolo, which was 1,000 foot
lower. And was it suspicious circumstances?
No, I don't think so. No, I went to the High Court sort of after it, and there was no sort of suggestion of sabotage or anything like that.
Sounds like a book to me, Arthur. Could be developed into a screenplay. John, it's been a delight having your little extra bonus on the programme. It's meant we couldn't actually do any more for John Wendell's Defence Diary because you just brought yourself here, which is wonderful stuff. Still to come on Siren today, of course, we've got Squabble Box Thursday between 11 and 1. Drive Time with Peter Haywood between 5 and 7. And then just after 7 o'clock, it's a little audio postcard from this year's Bramham International Horse Trials that we were covering last week, of course. The Rock Train is on between 8 and 10. John, I'm not sure whether you're sort of ready to do this, but I'm going to have confidence in your good self, given your umpiring sort of expertise, even though I don't think Arthur's really a cricketing fan. He's more rugby and athletics.
I like rugby as well.
Nice pledge. Warren Gatland, of course, good choice, do you think?
Yes, I think so. I think he's got... he's got the know-how from down under.
Would you agree, Arthur? He's got the know-how from
down under. I think he's the right guy. I think he's a good disciplinarian, and he knows the game inside out, and he's also played it as well, so he knows the score.
And the British Lions are pretty strong in that quarter, anyway.
Splendid. So, can you ask Arthur those last two questions?
Yes, Arthur. Before we say cheerio, have you had a good talk with us over the telephone?
Well, yes, so what I was, yes. Okay,
well, and will you be pleased to come and join us again sometime?
Yes, absolutely.
There we are, next week. Yeah. I mean, I was thinking we might have to go to either two cans on the end of a very long piece of string, probably about 180
miles. Yeah, I'm going to have to look at that situation, because I don't know what's going to be.
I mean, it's good, because it was the only... Everything else telephonically has worked fine, but no, we dialed up the number that we had for the landline, and all we got was John was in the studio. He will attest to the fact that I was amused, and had it not been for Ian Lennox saving the day by immediately having access to your mobile number, we thought...
That's right, an emergency number.
Well, exactly so. And let's face it, if you're Mackenzie-less, as Graham Harper would often say, it's an emergency. That's the important thing. So it's classic stuff. Arthur will return next week. We'll be back with the Midweek Drive on Wednesday with a whole heap of other material that's there, including actually a look at the Whitby Festival that's happening in October. So thanks to Tessa Snart, Richard Fitzwilliams, Ian Lennox, Riveter, R. Paul Wilson, Victoria Layton, of course, our wonderful physiotherapist, ex-commando Uzo Ehiog, John Wenham, William Sitwell, Arthur McKenzie, and you, dear listener. That's it. We're out of here. Can we all say bye-bye?
Goodbye, Arthur. Goodbye, all.
Bye now. Goodbye.